Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Yeah, all right, welcome back. Last hour of Overnight America before we do the replay hours after midnight. It was the 16th or 25th, I can't remember, Democratic debate of this season. There were six people on stage. Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and Tom Steyer. It was hosted by CNN. It lasted just a little bit longer than 2 hours. Their closing remarks started at what would be the two-hour remark. After the debate, we love to hook up with Kristen Arnold, a rules analyst. Kristen, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Oh, my pleasure for the 26th Democratic debate.
Yeah, it feels like it. It feels like it. Oh, man, they've been cranking these out, and they're not done yet even.
Oh, just wait until February. There's like three of them in 1 month.
I know.
And it just keeps getting better.
Yeah. So overall, how did CNN handle the debate tonight?
Well, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with this debate.
Oh, interesting. You know, I
do.
I can't wait to hear why.
Well, I think the moderators really teed up a lot of good questions that are topical on a national perspective, as well as topical for Iowans.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they, interestingly enough, they spent far more time asking closed questions, which was trying to pinpoint people's positions. Mm-hmm. Than they've done in the past. Usually it's like two-thirds are open-ended questions versus a third are closed. This was about 50-50.
Oh, okay.
And nobody really rose to the challenge.
Rose to the challenge. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I kind of thought that this was the opportunity for the candidates to really, you know, it's 3 weeks before the Iowa caucus. And this is the time for them to make their stand and differentiate themselves and maybe come out swinging a little bit more. You know,
yeah.
I thought that, but this was kind of like, okay, you know, we covered some different territory, which I thought was interesting. Hmm. We covered foreign policy a little bit further. Of course, we talked about impeachment. Taking on Trump, which was kind of the direct question about taking on Trump. This is mm-hmm. the first time that's ever really been asked.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of questions were left on the table, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Oh, okay. You know, and one thing you mentioned, this would have been relevant for Iowans. So is that something that good moderators will do? They'll try to make sure the questioning is going to be relevant for the crowd, or at least in this case, what's going to be relevant for the people that are going to be voting soon?
Well, I mean, this is the debate that traditionally both CNN and the Des Moines, Iowa Register co-host.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Brianne, and I'm going to like murder her last name, Fenensteel.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did a great job in, number one, teeing up questions, holding people accountable to answering those questions and making them relevant for Iowa.
Very good.
And that was really her job. I mean, for somebody who's not an online journalist, I'd say you go, girl. She did a great job of like shutting down. So here's a really interesting thing. Amy Klobuchar, every single comment she made. Every single one. There was not a one that she did not go over time.
Huh. And they allowed it? And there was, how were they on time-wise?
So what happens is there's like a little light thing. There's green, yellow, and then red. And when you get into red, then the moderator, you'll usually hear them going, "Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mayor," or, you know, whatever. And this gal, Brianne, she just was like, "Thank you, Senator." And now on, like, she just moved it right along. And I mean, people kind of went, "Ooh." And she just kept things really moving. And I really appreciated that.
How did Wolf Blitzer do tonight?
So, interestingly enough, he had kind of the least interesting questions in my mind. I mean, he started it off, which as the senior veteran, I mean, he's done like 6 presidential debates before. Mm-hmm. So he had the first kickoff question for everybody, which was, "Why are you best prepared to be commander in chief?" Which is that's kind of like saying, "So why should people like me? Yay." I thought that was a really weird question to start off with.
Oh, hmm.
But he went through the line. Okay, great. And then it went over to Abby and then Brianne and back to Abby. And then we took a break and then it went back to Abby. And Wolf came back online talking about prescription drugs. And then it went back to Brianne. And then it went to, he came back on talking about the impeachment question.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he just really liked this whole impeachment, taking on Trump. Well, actually, Abby had that one. But Wolf Blitzer, I don't know. He had the most speaking time as a moderator, but I didn't really think that he was memorable as a moderator.
Oh.
I think Abby was, she was really honing in on questions. But I thought Brianne was the most skilled of them all.
Interesting. Well, did you get the feel that Wolf may have wanted more attention on himself, considering that? And maybe just like the different people on stage are trying to make sure they get the most time, do you feel like he was trying to position himself to get the most time?
You know, I didn't get that feeling. Like, I was really surprised when I saw the stats, because I thought that he had the less time. But I think that might have been in the tee up. You know, that he did the welcome and he did the closing, you know, going down the line and making sure everybody did their closing remarks. So I think that might have something to do with it. I think actually he let the other moderators really shine, which I thought was a great statesmanship.
Do you have the breakdown of who got the most airtime among the candidates?
Oh, you know I do.
All right. So there were 6 on stage. It seems like their number should be way up compared to the last, since there's less people
they
to compete with. Let me just take a guess and say Elizabeth Warren had the most time tonight.
Ding, 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 ding.
All
you
right.
Get the prize.
How about that?
She had 18, almost 19 minutes total. 18 minutes and 58 seconds.
Wow. She seems to be the front runner for time every time we do this. She gets a lot of opportunities.
She does. And she goes over time. I mean, Klobuchar went over time 13 times and she had 13 questions directed at her.
Yeah.
But that being said, Warren had 10 and she had 16.
Oh, okay.
Between questions and rebuttals. Yeah.
So who had the second most time on stage?
Now this gets really it gets kind of closer, but not as much. Who do you think was second?
I'm going to guess Bernie Sanders because of the little spat between them.
Ding, 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 ding. It was the spat. That's what people are calling it. The Sanders-Warren spat.
And how much time did the good old Bernie get?
Bernie had 17 minutes and 53 seconds.
Oh.
Coming close behind him, though, was...
Let's say Joe Biden.
No.
Oh. Pete Buttigieg?
No.
Whoa. Oh, now this is a surprise
Amy
for me.
Amy Klobuchar, wow. 17 minutes and 37 seconds. But, you know, in all truth, Pete Buttigieg was close behind with 16 minutes and 44.
Okay.
And then Joe Biden was 16 and 21. And no surprise, Tom Steyer, 12 minutes and 37 seconds.
Yikes. Michael Bloomberg had more airtime with his ads.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Yeah. So that's kind of surprising to me. Amy Klobuchar, she was really managing the clock well. Like if this were a Major League Baseball or any other professional sports and they always pay attention to who can manage the clock, she would win on that alone. It seems like she didn't get as many opportunities, but she definitely got the time.
She did. She did, because she was only asked 7 questions directly, which is the same number as Steyer, which is the lowest number of them all.
Yeah.
And then was Joe Biden with only 8 questions directed at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Buttigieg had 9, then Warren, and then Sanders had 11.
I see.
So weird.
Yeah. Now, with all of this, 2 hours long, how do you think they handled just keeping it moving along? Do you feel like they did a pretty good job just managing time in general in this debate?
Yeah. I mean, there were 2 commercial breaks. So, gosh, I got up and, you know, had dessert. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't think that this provided new information to the public. I don't think it was very sexy, and I do think that the moderators tried to make it interesting, but I think the most interesting thing was after the debate, if you kept watching the cameras, Elizabeth Warren went up to Sanders to try to probably make some closure on some things that were occurred on stage, and usually they shake hands and they smile. None of that.
Ooh.
It was very awkward.
Cold shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Drama. Like
Drama.
It. So altogether, there's going to be 3 debates next month. I don't even know what they're going to do to try to differentiate the debates. It seems like when you get them one after another, I know the news cycle changes so quickly, but man, you're going to be asking a lot of the same questions over and over again. And there's probably going to be the exact same people that are on stage. Maybe Bloomberg joins in, but really it's not going to be a lot different.
No. And I honestly think they have to change up this format and extend the questioning and enable it to be a debate. Like this still was not a debate per se. The only places where people were having a conversation where it was kind of free falling was in healthcare. Yet again, you know, nobody's really answering the questions. They're just piping up about their opinion. I mean, it starts and you know that the candidates are not answering the questions as you go into more responses versus a direct question when CNN didn't put the question up when the candidate was asking. Or, you know, answering something. I think it would be helpful for them to take a topic. Let's say it's foreign policy. This is the first time we've ever talked this extensive about foreign policy, for example, because it's in the headlines. That's what people are most interested in. And let's say let's devote half of our time or an extended amount of time talking about foreign policy, or let's talk about the economy. We didn't even talk about the economy in this one. We didn't talk about gun control. We didn't talk about immigration. It's so weird when you start looking at the ebb and the flow of what the moderators choose to talk about.
Yeah. You know, if people wanted to check you out online, and I know you post some of these statistics there as well, where can people find you?
I'm at rulesanalyst.com.
Rulesanalyst.com. Kristen Arnold is our guest. And I know that you're going to be doing some traveling. You got some work to do, but I hope we can get you back on for these debates that are going to be next month in February.
I hope so, Ryan. It's always lovely to chat with you.
Oh, it's so great. Kristen Arnold, rulesanalyst.com. Check her out on there. And wow, what a night. We're going to take a break here, and she joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line, Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's traffic station, KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I like to look at what are the chances of fill in the blank. To me, my other job would be a Vegas odds maker. I would love a job like that to figure it out. So what are the odds that, let's say, what's more likely? Aliens exist or McDonald's will ever put a chicken sandwich up that'll taste better than Chick-fil-A or Popeyes? I think there's a much better chance there's aliens than McDonald's ever putting up a better chicken sandwich than Chick-fil-A. And the only reason I bring this up right now is because CBS News is reporting on it.
McDonald's is turning to an often disparaged ingredient in its years-long effort at creating a chicken sandwich capable of luring customers from Chick-fil-A and Popeyes.
Not possible.
Mickey D's is now testing chicken sandwiches with monosodium glutamate, or MSG, in more than 230 of its restaurants in Texas.
Wait, isn't that the stuff they put in Chinese food to make it delicious?
In Tennessee. MSG was once a popular additive that was axed by many food makers in the 5 decades since a now debunked account linking the ingredient and its use in Chinese restaurants to serious side effects.
Oh, yeah.
Both other fast food chains use MSG for their chicken sandwiches, and McDonald's is hoping to get the same frenzy that Popeyes did with its sandwich last year. Matt Piper, CBS News.
So add the chicken sandwich crack, the MSG in there, and get her going. I love Chinese food. It is so good, and there's probably a reason for it. It's because of that stuff they put in there. It's chicken crack. It makes you go nuts for it. All right. What are the odds McDonald's ever makes a chicken sandwich better than Chick-fil-A? I think that is at 0%. Chick-fil-A would have to be out of business for them to make a better chicken sandwich. I just don't believe it. Now, don't get me wrong. I eat at McDonald's. I like them. It's just, it's not going to happen. Stop dreaming, y'all. You know, talking about UFOs, CBS this weekend ran a story about top secret UFO files that may get out there. And I know this may drive some people nuts, and I know this would drive a lot of people crazy. In fact, my friend that's over in Vancouver does Spaced Out Radio. He hates whenever this song's played based on these type of articles. But as a late night radio disc jockey dude, I don't know how you can get around not playing this. Or what's better yet, or maybe I should just play this instead. This is a lot better. This is almost universal with conspiracy talk. So in November 2004, several U.S. Navy pilots stationed aboard the USS Nimitz encountered what they call a tic-tac-shaped UFO. The video is out there. You can actually see the video. Just like the X-Files would say, the truth is out there, but the video is out there. And a lot of people were wondering, what's going on here? Through a Freedom of Information Act request, a spokesperson for the Navy Office of Intelligence, so it's the Office of Naval Intelligence, ONI, confirmed to the agency they possess several top-secret documents and at least one classified video pertaining to a 2004 UFO encounter. Ooh, 2004. This goes back some time. One person said, let me read this for you. This was actually pretty cool. Several naval officers in November 2019 witnessed an incident aboard the Nimitz. They told Popular Mechanics that they seen a much longer video of the encounter that was between 8 and 10 minutes long. These original recordings were promptly collected and erased by, quote, unknown individuals, end quote, who arrived on the ship by helicopter shortly after the incident. So they send in the Black Hawk helicopters. You know, CBS did a pretty good little rundown. And it's neat. You know, there's a lot of appeal to find out if there's other intelligent beings in this universe and if they can visit us and what we know about that sort of thing. So here is what CBS reported.
Is this the revelation that the conspiracy theorists have been looking for all along, that the government knows there are actually UFOs?
Well, I know. So you're talking to, I think, an editor from Popular Mechanics.
Well, it's always impossible to know what the conspiracy theorists are thinking. But remember, what the conspiracy theorists would argue in these cases is that the government knows, A, and that it's covering something up. I don't think this is what they're looking for. All they are looking for, all that's being said here, is that the government is doing due diligence. We need to know what objects are that haven't been logged properly, and on the off chance they're ET, all right, we should know that.
Program said it ended.
I like that. In the off chance we might stumble upon something of significance, maybe we can do that. I don't know. The government's, if there are aliens and they have visited this planet, or in some people say they actually walk on this planet right now as we speak, there could be aliens listening to us. Try to wrap that one around your head. there may be aliens listening to us right now on this radio program. Whoa, man. Get that tinfoil hat out. I would want to point out that the government's done an excellent job of holding on to this conspiracy theory close to the chest, and they haven't been able to get this information out thus far. You would think all of this would be out and available based on how things are leaked so easily. Don't they normally ask the hackers like Edward Snowden and them, the ones that somehow find a way to crack the government servers if there's any alien stuff on there, and there never is?
In 2012, did it really?
Well, these things have elastic deadlines, and it did not end in 2012. Now, the Pentagon still has a lot of people working for it, so even if the program isn't officially on NASA, on the Pentagon's books anymore, right, there's still people there who are keeping an eye open for these things and are still analyzing the data that comes in, and they should.
So, yeah. Wah, 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 wah. You want to talk aliens? Anyone see an alien lately? Have there been any new alien sightings? We had a realtor named Ryan. I had him call in, and I don't know if he wanted me to say his name, so we'll just strike that. I won't say his last name. But he is someone that said he thought he saw something. Whoa. And I had him call in about 2 months ago. That was the last time we actually had a UFO sighting on this program. Has anyone seen a UFO lately? Call in. What'd you see? Where'd you see it? 314-436-7900. We'll take a look at your weather coming up. And we'll actually, maybe we should give weather for all the aliens listening too. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX. The voice of the Cardinals. This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
The voice of the Cardinals.
St. Louis Cardinals baseball is on the air. Swing and a line drive, and that's the winner, folks!
We had a heck of a team. It was a heck of a year.
You called it, Mr. Bush. The Cardinals had a heck of a year in 1985, and the two Cardinals movie videos, Heck of a Year, and the St. Louis Cardinals the movie, also had a heck of a year. More copies of the two Cardinals movies have been sold in the St. Louis area since Thanksgiving than all the other movie videos combined. If you received a VCR for Christmas, or you've been waiting to buy these hit Cardinal movies, now's the right time. $21.95 for Heck of a Year, $29.95 for the St. Louis Cardinals the movie. Don't forget the KMOX radio play-by-play audio cassette and the attractive Cardinal calendar. The St. Louis Cardinals the movie and Heck of a Year, available wherever movie videos are sold.
Practically anything and everything that has something to do with the Cardinals is a thrill for me.
Go crazy, folks!
I love it. That was a vintage classic commercial from January 14th, 1986, which aired there. Just quick question for producer Mike. I went on eBay real quick, and I had to look up Heck of a Year Cardinals movie and then Heck of a Year 1985 VHS. How much do you think that goes for on eBay right now? Oh, I got to pull you up. Hold on. What do you think it goes for?
I'll say, in honor of the year, I'll say $85.
Wow, not bad. $30, roughly. Now, you can buy a DVD version of it, a copy of it, for about $10, $15, somewhere in there. Yeah, it goes basically $30. There's a $30 one. Not bad. A couple of different listings on there.
I thought they might be more collectible items now at this point that they would have gone up.
There's so many Cardinals collectible items that are out there. Now, I do have a joke for you, and I want to run this by you. My wife told this at the dinner table today. I want to see what you think about it, okay?
Okay.
It's kind of like a dad joke. And here's the dad joke for you. And I know Bobo may be listening right now, so take notes. This is one of the good ones. What is a pirate's favorite letter?
R.
Mm. Aye, but his first love is the C.
Mm. Been a while since I've heard that one.
Wait, you've heard that one?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that's the first time I've heard that. I've heard the favorite letter is the R. I've never heard the follow-up to it. Well, then the joke's not as good if you've heard it before. Hey, this is the type of programming you have come to love. It's called Overnight America with Ryan Recker. You know, at midnight, we do a replay hour, and we go back into the KMOX archives with Clint Hosse, and we got so many great memories to share. He's someone that was here at KMOX 93 to about 2000, and then some a little bit after. And he's got a lot of fond memories to share of some of the great personalities that were still around in the 90s, and impressions and stories, and oh, I think you'll enjoy it. That's available right now if you go to KMOX.com in the podcast section. I wanted to point this out. Yesterday was the national championship game for college football. Pretty exciting game all the way around. And during this, there was a moment before the game where the president of the United States, yes, Donald J. Trump, walked onto the field with his wife, Melania.
Tonight, as we honor our nation, please remain standing and welcome members of the ROTC units from Louisiana State University and Clemson University, joined by the President of the United States and the First Lady.
Nice standing ovation, people cheering, and this went on for a while as he walks out from the back, you know, through the tunnel and onto the field. All right, so the president was there. The president was there. That was kind of cool. He's had a lot of warm receptions, warm welcomes in the past when he goes to games down in the South, college football games. So it was kind of cool to see him there. Nice little appearance. Now, something happened after that that got a lot of people upset. If you had to guess what makes people upset anymore, it's people that are cordial to the president of the United States. So what happened? One of the other people that were there at this college football game was the actor Vince Vaughn. I would list him as an A-list actor. He's someone that's pretty popular. He is someone that I think considers himself an independent. He's libertarian. He's not someone that I think has any political siding with it. But anymore, if you're not far left, you're pretty much considered a Nazi by a lot of people. And what normally happens in a moment where there's celebrities, they put them all in one place because in a national championship game, all these different boxes are taken and normally they share them because they want to have that shared experience. And it's a lot easier to do that when you're a big name celebrity or in this case, the president of the United States. So they're in the same box. And there was video that surfaced focusing the camera on Vince Vaughn speaking to Donald Trump. It was Vince Vaughn, Melania Trump, Donald Trump. They were nice to each other. You can see Vince Vaughn saying a few things to the president saying a few things to him. In the end, they shake hands. Vince Vaughn stands up and he walks away. So he had a limited amount of time sitting next to the president, which you think would be pretty cool, all things considered. Internet goes crazy. Social media goes crazy. People are like, I'm done with Vince Vaughn. I'm no longer going to watch any of his movies. In fact, The Wedding Crashers were terrible. Swingers was terrible. All of his work is tainted because he shook the hand of the President of the United States. Wow. What a crazy, crazy group of the internet users that are just mobbing together on Vince Vaughn. Now, you know who made a really good point on this? I saw them on The Five on the Fox earlier today. Someone posted a video of this, and they put their reaction to the whole Vince Vaughn outrage. And listen, and I think this is a really good reaction to it.
Just what kills me is how that's civility. That's kindness. Isn't that what everyone on the left is calling for? Meaning, when we see a video like that, which is two people, regardless of party, but let's say if he is an independent, so two different parties, or a party agnostic and another one, shouldn't we be applauding that? Shouldn't the left say, ah, Vince Vaughn, what a wonderful example of humanity above all else? But instead, they're falling into, if that is something that we should be outraged over, A, what is something that, like, the bar becomes ridiculously low, and B, it eradicates everything that they're always calling for, which is for us to be singing Kumbaya and all be together.
I'm a lip reader, right? Greg, and you know what Vince told the president?
What?
Lock her up.
Oh.
I got to hear what Greg Gutfeld said. But right before that, Dana Perina, she mentioned something pretty good, and she said the same thing happened when Ellen DeGeneres sat next to George W. Bush at an event. Everyone went crazy, and they said, how dare Ellen DeGeneres sit next to that war criminal, George W. Bush? And then Ellen had to come out and basically say the same thing. She had to come out and put that message together that you can be nice to other people that you disagree with. Have you forgotten? Have you lost your mind? Well, she was a lot nicer to her audience than I'm being right now. Here's what Greg Gutfeld said.
Oh, really?
That's
amazing.
Very clear to me.
That's amazing. Going back to Juan's point, are people really freaking out, or by people, do we just mean people on Twitter, which is what this is. And then they're facsimiles of people who have a very low investment in their opinion. They're not even thinking when they're writing stuff. I'm including myself in that point. But also, and also you have media bloggers who's this is their life to like clip out stuff and put it up there and hope they get likes and maybe they can prove to their boss that people actually read their stuff when nobody really cares.
People don't think on Twitter, and ain't that the truth? Hey, while we're talking about it, follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. If you miss any part of the show, I do post links and photos and things on there, at Ryan Recker on Twitter. One more segment left. If you want to text in, you can, or if you want to get the last call of the night, you can. 800-925-1120. If you're anywhere in the U.S., you could be listening to that. I bet you that number works in Canada, too. I don't know if it works in Mexico, probably. Or 314-436-7900, locally here on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
So it sounds like Michael Avenatti's in jail right now over in Los Angeles, and we'll be sitting there until he gets a bail hearing tomorrow. Oh, man, isn't that funny? Yeah, that was some of the news that broke here. He was arrested. He was at an IRS hearing. Can you be arrested by the IRS? CBS still hasn't put that down on their wire. I've been waiting to see that one pop up. Man, is that funny. On the night of the last Democratic debate before Iowa, a lot of people were saying that he should be running for president. Michael Avenatti, he's the savior of the Democratic Party. That's what people like Bill Maher are out there saying. So there's the news that's coming out. Oh, boy. Kevin Kling did a great job today on the coverage of the Kim Gardner press conference. He also was there when the police union had a press conference. And we talked about that in the second hour of the show during the 9 o'clock hour. You're going to hear a replay of that after 1 a.m. if you missed it. Or you can go to KMOX.com/ONA right in the podcast section. Let me play this for you because Kevin Kling did a whole nother story on it.
We stand with Kim. We stand with Kim.
There were about 50 supporters of St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner outside the courthouse chanting. But there was one woman away from the crowd down by the curb heckling the proceedings.
My son is dead. My son is dead.
Melvina Turner holding a sign that says, Kim Gardner must go. My son is dead.
And the reason I'm down here protesting against Ms. Gardner, my son was killed November the 30th, 2018, in an auto accident. This young man who was driving the car, he was driving 70 miles an hour in a 30-mile-hour zone. And not only did he kill my son, he hit another vehicle as well. And when I pressed for a prosecution, Ms. Gardner turned down the manslaughter charge.
Turner says the police did a thorough job investigating the crash.
Toxicology reports and everything. This man had opiates in his system, alcohol in his system, and he had hit another vehicle. My son dead, but Ms. Gardner did not have evidence in order to prosecute for manslaughter. That was crazy.
Turner believes that Gardner passed on the case for personal reasons because Turner once criticized her on Facebook for another case in her family, this one involving a grandson.
My grandson had an incident where he accidentally shot his best friend. The young man that was killed, his parents even came down here to plead to lower the bail so they can get him out. And Ms. Gardner wanted to even try to put armed criminal action up on his case when that was not the facts at all.
Did Ms. Gardner prosecute your grandson for the accidental shooting?
Yes, she did.
Did he get convicted?
Yes, he got convicted for involuntary manslaughter.
And you think it's because you criticized her for that publicly that she didn't prosecute the drunk driver who killed your son?
Exactly why she did it. She's a very vindictive person.
Kim Gardner was not at the rally, and nobody from her office was immediately available to give her side of the story. There is always another side of the story in court cases. With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Wow, how about that? I fully believe that is possible. In fact, it's probable. And I wanted to get Jane Duker on the program tonight. She is so very critical of the hijinks going on in the circuit attorney's office. And she unfortunately had a lot of other meetings that she was attending today. So we're going to try to do the interview tomorrow night. You know, I have another guest that we're going to have on tomorrow night, Dr. Michael Bussler. We've had him on the show before. It's a really good interview. And Dr. Bussler believes that the United States and China is right on the cusp of making a big trade deal. So what does that mean for the economy? He's an economist. He's someone that has talked about it for decades. This would be huge. So tomorrow night at this time, if we're sitting down and we have a trade deal with China, get ready, man. The stock market's going to be soaring. Let's hope that's the case. But either way, we're going to have him on the show, and maybe we can talk about the hypotheticals of what would happen in a situation like that. I got a couple of other things I wanted to talk about, but in the next hour, just again, our replay hour with Clint Hosse, that's going to be a good one. It's going to be a real good one. I had a good conversation with Brad Young yesterday regarding the lawsuit for Kim Gardner, and this is before the actual filing was made public. I had a chance to go through it today. I skimmed through the filing, and I wanted to get his thoughts on it, just a couple of cliff notes of his first impressions and some of his initial thoughts. This is what he pointed out during for this lawsuit. This, you know, fraud, to me, it's just a, it's just one of those fraud deals going down. It's what's the word? Not fraudulent, but it's frivolous. Here's some of his initial thoughts. Conspiracy. It's going to be very hard to show that there was an effort between various defendants to prove conspiracy, as if there's a coordinated effort between all of them. Purposeful, coordinated effort. Yeah, right. Good luck with that. Now, the intent's going to be interesting, too. He says, simply alleging that there's a racist cop out there is insufficient to show the intent to discriminate by the police union or even the city of St. Louis. That's going to be a very difficult thing for her to show. And here's the other thing, too. Since this was filed in federal court, the jury pool is going to be comprised of residents from mostly rural counties, which means the jury pool, they'll pull from Farmington and Rolla and Steelville, Union, Washington, Arnold, Wensfield, Troy, you know, et cetera. Jurors are not going to be so sympathetic to Kim Gardner in those areas, and rightfully so. They should be a lot more skeptical. I think pretty much people watching from the outside looking in, they know that this is a complete mess that needs to be corrected. And the circuit attorney's office is more than a mess. It is like a, it's like a barn fire, man. It is dumpster fire status. We got to get this corrected. We'll talk to Kevin Killeen about what he's seen on the streets today coming up in the second hour of the replay hour right after midnight. I got a couple of thoughts on that too. And this is not a story that's going to be going away anytime soon. Wow, that about does it here for tonight. What a night and a half. Looking forward to going home, resting, and getting back all nice in tomorrow for Overnight America. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, how about you download a podcast? Just, it takes a second, and it really helps this radio program grow when we have more people that consume the digital version of this. It's also a great way for you to share it with other people that aren't freaky like you that stay up late. I know, we're a different type of crowd. The late night crowd is so much different than a daytime crowd, but it means they miss out on a lot of things like this radio program. So if you know someone that would like this show, go online to KMOX.com/ONA. And from there, you can just send them a link. Say, hey, listen to this. Tell me what you think of it. Leave a nice review online. You can find it wherever you download podcasts like the radio.com app. Wow. Until tomorrow, have a great night.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio, find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love. Wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't wanna spend another night alone, sleeping with the radio on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.